This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. For at least two decades, scientists have been working to understand what our world would be like if it were, on average, 2 degrees Celsius warmer than before the Industrial Revolution. It's a somewhat arbitrary number, that 2 degrees, but it came from analyses suggesting that it might be a feasible target and that it might avoid the most catastrophic impacts of climate change. As the science evolved, though, 2 degrees of warming started to look increasingly dangerous. And in 2015, UN negotiators representing small island nations drove a push to adopt a new, more ambitious target, limiting warming to just 1.5 degrees Celsius. Researchers immediately scrambled to understand what that would look like. And now the UN's climate change body is set to release a special report on the feasibility and impacts of 1.5 degrees warming. A draft of that report was leaked to certain media outlets this past week, complete with U.S. negotiators' comments calling into question the underlying science. So we thought we'd dig into some of that science. Kate Marvel is an associate research scientist at Columbia University and NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies. She also writes regularly for Scientific American in her column Hot Planet. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
One of your main research interests is something that climate scientists call climate sensitivity, basically trying to get a handle on how hot a given amount of carbon dioxide emissions would make the planet. What are our current best estimates about where we're headed?
Well, that's kind of a difficult thing because there are several sources of uncertainty, right? The number one biggest source of uncertainty is what we're going to do. But even if you remove us from the equation, there's still a little uncertainty in the physics of the system. And so we use this metric called climate sensitivity, which is kind of an artificial metric, which is what would the planet do if carbon dioxide in the atmosphere were abruptly doubled and it was allowed to sort of come into equilibrium over hundreds of years. And our best estimates of that are anywhere between 1.5 and 4.5 degrees, but the best estimates are around 3.
And this is Celsius, not Fahrenheit, that we're talking here.
Oh, absolutely.
That 1.5 degrees is actually where the UN negotiators in 2015 in the Paris Agreement kind of set our target. And that was a new target. For a couple of decades, we'd been looking at trying to limit warming to about 2 degrees Celsius. And a lot of research had been done on both what that would look like in terms of impacts and in terms of what it would take to stay within 2 degrees. How much do we know about this 1.5 degree target? I mean, it's only been 3 years since that was kind of introduced as an idea.
We know a surprising amount about it because we know a surprising amount about impacts and how they scale with temperature. So although before this report, we hadn't done a lot of sort of directed research on what exactly would a 1.5 degree world would look like, we had a lot of guesses. And those have kind of been borne out by a lot of the research that's actually been done.
Well, let's talk about that word guesses and how they've been borne out, right? Because the crux of this matter comes down to uncertainty and a lot of people saying, hey, we don't really have a great handle on what 1.5 degrees or 2 degrees of warming would actually mean in concrete terms for precipitation or wildfires or human health or ecosystem health or all these other possible impacts. So what are some of those impacts and how certain are we about them?
That's such a good point about the uncertainty. I feel like people understandably want to know where are we safe? Where's the boundary? And there is no hard and fast boundary. A 1.5 degree world is dangerous climate change for a lot of people. A 2 degree world is even more dangerous climate change for a lot of people. But the impacts of 2 degrees are in general worse than the impacts of 1.5 degrees. So for example, we are projecting more and more severe droughts at 2 degrees than at 1.5 degrees. But we're still projecting an increase in the severity of droughts and their incidence at 1.5 degrees. We are projecting about 7% more extreme rainfall events at 2 degrees and about 5% at 1.5 degrees.
That sounds pretty incrementally less bad at 1.5 degrees than at 2 degrees. I mean, really, how big a difference is this?
I mean, it's a pretty big difference. And I wish I could categorize it as one is safe and one is not safe. But I think really what we're looking at is scary and more scary.
well, that's okay. That's scary. but how do we actually know that those are the likely impacts? How do you get from, you know, we're emitting so many tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere to a 7% increase in one particular impact?
Unfortunately, we don't have any observations of the future right now.
That is so unfortunate.
It is. So to really get at that, we need to use large computer models of the climate system to sort of project what that world's going to look like. But that's not all we have, right? We've already warmed the planet about a degree Celsius. And so we know what the planet looks like now as compared to what it used to look like before we put so much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So the fact that we have a planet that's about a degree warmer and we have impacts that are already happening right now gives us kind of an observational way of testing and evaluating those computer models that we use to project the future. A lot of people think that a computer model is just kind of made up, and it's not. It kind of encodes everything that we understand about how the climate system and how the world works. So a lot of these things, you know, are just kind of basic physics. So for example, we know, and it's just a very, very basic thing, that when air warms up, it holds more water vapor. So for every degree centigrade you warm up the atmosphere, it can hold about 7% more water vapor. And that means that when it rains, it pours. There's just more water that the atmosphere can dump on you. And that's why we expect an increase in extreme rainfall now and in the future.
So is what you're doing essentially just extrapolating from what's been happening as things have warmed over the past 100 or so years and saying if we keep doing that, this is what it's likely to turn into?
To some extent. So you can use the observations and extrapolate, but the models really help you explore, you know, these what ifs. What could change? What don't we understand? What are the physical processes that we're messing with that, you know, haven't changed yet but could change in the future?
You've already said that we've already warmed the planet by about 1 degree Celsius. Mm-hmm. Given the rate that we're going with greenhouse gas emissions, is 1.5 degrees Celsius warming essentially inevitable at this point?
You know, that is a real can of worms, and I'm going to get yelled at if I speculate too much on that. All I can say is that it is going to be incredibly difficult. I think getting to 2 degrees is going to be incredibly difficult. It's going to require major, major reductions in our greenhouse gases and probably some form of carbon capture and storage. It's possible, but really expensive to take carbon out of the air at large scales. And then we got to figure out, if we do take all this carbon out of the air, where are we going to put it? What are we going to do with it? And I don't really see those conversations happening. But, you know, we're physicists here, right? So, you know, we can tell you what air does when it gets heated up, but we can't really tell you what people do when they get heated up. So what's human society going to do in the future? I don't know.
Obviously, again, we need our crystal ball for that one as well. But you've said that over the past 3 years and building on the decades of research we had looking at a 2 degree goal, we've gained a pretty good understanding of what 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming might mean for the planet and what it might take to get there. But as a physicist who studies, you know, the underlying processes of climate change, what do you wish we know that we don't know yet about 1.5 degrees of warming, what that could be like, and that you think would really help guide some of these you know, discussions at everywhere from the international level all the way down to the local level about how we respond to climate change?
I mean, I feel like as a physicist, the interesting questions are, what are the feedback mechanisms? So how does the climate change, and then how do those climate changes feed back on the warming? So that's something that I'm very interested in learning. And then things like tipping points. So what are the things that we're not anticipating? What are kind of the unknown unknowns? That's something that I think about a lot and that keep me up at night. Now, those are not necessarily specific to 1.5 or 2 degrees or 3 degrees or any particular level of warming. But I just feel like there's a lot about the climate system that we still have to understand. I feel like I should really emphasize when you talk about uncertainty, people hear that and they think, oh, they don't know anything. It could be really beneficial or it could be bad, but you know, it's probably fine. And I want to be really clear that we've ruled out fine. You know, we're talking about bad versus really bad versus catastrophic. And that's kind of where the uncertainty lies.
Kate Marvel is an associate research scientist at Columbia University and the NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies. Kate, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.